The gospel is for all. Tell me the story of Jesus. We've been talking about the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, for several months. Told about his teaching, shared with you Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, at least the Beatitudes, maybe in some other portions. Some of the miracles that he performed, some of the parables of which he taught. Then we came down to the last week, talked about the numerous things that went on during the last week as he came into the city of Jerusalem, as he participated with the apostles in the observation of the Passover, a yearly thing for the Jews of that time, for the Jews of today. Then the institution of the Lord's Supper by Jesus with those 12 apostles. Talked about the bickering that they were still doing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. It still hadn't caught on yet what Jesus was trying to get through to these men. He spoke to them then about humility. In fact, he gave an example using a towel and a wash basin of water. He washed his disciples' feet. They went out from there, and he taught them other things. You remember he prayed for their unity, that they'd be one, that those who would believe in him, through them, that they would be one, which would include all the way down to today. Then he'd say to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And you can imagine that their heads were buzzing. The way we might phrase it today, they were on overload. With all the teaching that he was doing and the lack of understanding that they were having of what he was saying. He told about being mocked by the chief scribes and Pharisees that they would scourge him, that they would actually crucify him, put him to death, but he'd be raised the third day. They didn't really understand. They really could not conceive how that could happen, why he was still standing there. And all the miracles that he did, all the power that he showed through those miracles, raised Lazarus from the dead, and they're going to kill you. I mean, you stood up against a number of things, and you've made it thus far. And those 12 men chosen to be the closest to him, chosen to carry on after he had left, but they had no concept of that yet. He told them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Wasn't getting through, really. How could they understand? But he was mocked. He was scourged after being tried. False witnesses brought forth to charge him with treason, blasphemy. He was crucified, and they saw him suspended between earth and sky on that cross between the two thieves. I suppose they all saw him from, not necessarily from close up, as John did. They were there during that darkness on Friday, 6 hours. They knew something was going on. They heard in the earthquake. They heard about the dead coming forth out of the graves. They heard about the veil of the temple being rent in two, torn in two. I mean, something was beginning to build up in them that was maybe some type of belief, but it hadn't all been put together yet, had it? We couldn't have absorbed all of that and decided what it all meant. He spoke of his resurrection. They didn't believe that either. But after his death and after the women came to Peter and John and said, you know, that stone before the grave of Jesus had been rolled away. They ran to the tomb and they looked in, saw that it was empty. Saw the grave clothes lying there. A little belief may be creeping in. Then Jesus appeared to them on numerous occasions. Remember, he appeared to them one time and Thomas wasn't there. Thomas got a nickname as a result of not being there, a doubting Thomas. When he saw Jesus offered his hands and nail prints in his hands. He said, look, you know, put your hands there. See my side, the pierced side. John but could say, my Lord and my God. And the writer of the book of John would say, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written here, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life in his name, or have eternal life. They ate with him, and I think they began to believe. They began to believe. Jesus came to them and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given me, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, or the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, 15, 16. Has similar wording as that we call the Great Commission. Mark 16:15-16 says this. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Those are in red in my Bible, the New King James. That means they're Jesus' words. That doesn't make them necessarily any greater than other words, although in some cases it could be much greater. But Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Go into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel. This morning, the title of the lesson, my title to it, is A Great Commission. The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. Question. Why would someone call this the Great Commission? It's not called the Great Commission in the Bible. It's not called great. It's not called a commission. But you know, sometimes we recognize things for what they are, don't we? It's reasonable to come to the conclusion that this was a great commission. But what would make it great? First of all, it's greatest to its authority. Jesus had been given all authority, he said, in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. It was great as to its mission. These men were to carry on the work of Jesus. You see, in about 50 days from the time, 50 days rather, 40 days from the time Jesus was raised from the dead, 40 days from that Sunday that he was raised from the dead, he was going to ascend back to the Father. He was going back to heaven. He would no longer be with them. That's the time that he was, quote, going away that he talked about in John chapter 14. Where he says, you know, be not troubled. He said, you believe God, believe also in me. I'm going away. Prepare a place for you. That's when he would go. That's when he would go. So he stayed with them for a while, for a few days, 40 days. So that was a great, it was greatness as to its mission. Jesus said, you go and make disciples, make learners, make followers, imitators. That's the meaning of making disciples. It's great as to its scope. He said, go and go into what? All the world. Go to all nations. All people were to be taught. I had a second question that I thought could be on somebody's mind. If this was so great a thing to do, why hadn't Jesus talked about it before? Why hadn't he talked about it before? Well, he had in a way. He had mentioned his death. He had mentioned his resurrection, but at the time he mentioned it during that three and a half years of instruction for those 12. It's just like going to school. You know, we go to school and they don't try to give us 12th grade material in the first grade, do they? They don't try to give us 11th grade material in the second grade or, you know, on up the line. We don't take college till we get into college. Some of them are taking college courses now, college level, they say. But we have to know a certain amount before we can learn something else a lot of times. Same in Bible study. The same as it was with the Jesus apostles. He could not hand them. He said, now here's the outline God gave to me. This is his plan. This is what's going to happen in these 3 and 3.5 years. And y'all work at your own pace as far as getting through it. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it worked. He led them little by little. And he built upon what he had previously said. Some things were not said until a later time because at an early time they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. They wouldn't understand it. Although sometimes they didn't understand it anyway. Why had Jesus not spoken before? Well, they weren't ready. It's just like going into basic training in the army. You don't go in the first day and say, boys, while we're giving you shots, this is an M1 rifle. You see that eye chart on the wall? We won't see how many... No, that's not going to happen. They don't put a rifle in the hands of somebody that just shown up for the first day that they're in the armed services. Little by little, they had to see and try to understand other teachings. They had to hear the teachings. They had to see his examples. And then little by little, they were taught. Plus, he said, you go and in Mark's account, says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel means good news or good tidings. It could be good news or good tidings about anything. But W.E. Vine, in his New Testament dictionary, says in the New Testament, it denotes the good tidings of the kingdom of God and salvation through Christ to be received by faith on the basis of his expiatory, his sacrifice, sacrificial death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. The Apostle Paul uses the gospel as to its basic facts of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Let's see what the Apostle Paul said about the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles, be sure and turn, because I may not be reading it right. I may be just giving you a bill of sale or just a bunch of stuff without any backing here. Well, sometimes I have the scripture written out in my outline. I could have it wrong. Moreover, brethren, New King James. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you what? The gospel, which I preached to you, which also, see, they were having a little problem. Having a little problem believing in their own resurrection. They're having all kinds of problems, but that was one of them. So he's going to talk to them about that now. But as a prelude to that, see, he had to teach him one thing and build on it before he got to the resurrection. But he said, I preached to you the gospel, which you also received and in which you stand. That's what they were taught. That's what they received. That's what they stood in. By which also you are saved. We're saved by the gospel. The good news. If you hold fast. So there's an if there. If you're steadfast. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. Folks, we can believe in vain. That's what that says. These are Christians. I delivered to you first of all. Well, he delivered to them the gospel. Well, maybe he's explaining what it is. I delivered to you, first of all, that I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, prophecies. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The gospel is a story about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in Mark, Jesus said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? The gospel. The gospel. Now, I know later in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopians said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But he had been taught the gospel. Because the Ethiopian eunuch had begun with the account in Isaiah chapter 53 of the statements made by Isaiah concerning the death of Jesus. Go and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized, we say, he that believes what? Believes the gospel. If the gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, when could Jesus have taught it earlier? He did talk about his death, his burial, and resurrection. But the story was incomplete. When you say, tell me the story of Jesus, you don't tell folks, or some folks do, you don't tell the folks just about the teachings of Jesus. When you talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't just talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. And how great that was that he came to this earth and lived in the flesh. That would be part of the story, but that's not all the story. The story was not complete, of course, till he got back to the right hand of the Father and sat down at his right hand in glory. But the gospel could not have been preached until Jesus had died, until he was buried, and until he was raised with the power of God, which would prove that his claims to be the Son of God were true. His claims to offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world, that would give you and me forgiveness of sins, was proven to be true when he was resurrected from the dead. When that tomb was open and empty, when that stone was rolled away, Jesus was gone and then later appeared to over 500 brethren at once. Of according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, I believe it is. The gospel. So, you know, if I was one of the apostles, how could I be told to preach the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection before my Savior had died? Because number one, I didn't believe he's going to die. How could I know and be able to preach the gospel until Jesus was raised from the dead? Because I didn't believe that he's going to die and need to be raised from the dead. So after all that was done, the Great Commission, the charge, okay, you men, I've readied you as best I could for three and a half years. You're going to have to keep on doing what I started. Remember, Luke starts the book of Acts saying that the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Well, that was past. Now these men were going to do and teach. They were going to carry on what Jesus had started. What Jesus had started. We'll be talking more about that in future lessons. Let's look at some alls in the Great Commission. Great Commission, the gospel is for all. Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Now, if you've been given all authority to take care of a particular thing, how much authority is there for Bobby to take care of it? None. How much authority is there for me if you've been given all authority? Jesus has been given all authority. Well, all authority in what? Well, he came to this earth. He was a spiritual leader, all authority in all spiritual things. Oh, somebody get upset at that. Because I have authority in my religious group. Or we've got our authority here in this particular city. No authority is up there in heaven, and it rests in his word in this book. All authority has been given. The authority given to the Son of God, because the Son of God was the one who issued this command. So whenever you're given a charge to do something, if I was given something to do at work, you know, whether I did it had to do with who told me to do it. You know, not anybody could just come down toward my little cubicle down at the end of the room and say, Jim, you need to do this. I'd either laugh at him or say, yes, sir. It's according to who had the authority. It leaves no religious authority for anyone else, not me, not you, not any religious body, not any person here on earth. Before Jesus came to this earth, God spoke to man in a variety of ways and through a variety of people. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, but a change was made when Jesus came and became a man and spoke for God. Hebrews 2, verse 2 tells us that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You recall the incident in Matthew 17. First few verses, I think Luke tells us there was a prayer before this happened. But Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up into a mountain. Jesus is transfigured there. Moses and Elijah suddenly appear along with Jesus. And Peter just knowing that something needs to be done. He's going to do it. He's going to say it anyway. I think we need to build a tabernacle here to Jesus and to Elijah and to Moses, all three of them. Well, he was going to show honor, worship all three of them. That was his idea of what was going on. But then a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Suddenly, Elijah and Moses was no longer there. Just Jesus. So God was speaking of his Son, Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, as he said when Jesus was buried in baptism by John the Baptist. And now he says, hear ye him. These apostles had long heard Moses and the law. They'd read the prophets and given heed to what the prophets said, but a change had been made. A change had been made. God now speaks through His Son. So Jesus is given all authority. All people are to hear the gospel. All people. No one should be excluded. Notice that Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus, in the apostles' days, that meant Gentiles as well as Jews. Now, the Jews were not going to be quick to receive that idea because they'd been God's people for so many years. When Mark recorded this in Mark 16:15, he said, as Jesus, as he stood there with us, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, all the world, every creature. No one was excluded. All are to hear. Remember Otis Gatewood, one of the great missionary leaders to go over into Europe, I believe it was, says, I believe this was his statement, says, go ye means go me. Go ye means go me. And there was a time when the churches of Christ and its leaders remembered that. Now some of us remember that today. We've got somebody over in North Carolina. And many of the congregations supporting people overseas. There was a time over in Africa, and I'm sure people over in India are thinking that they're going to be sending missionaries over here to this country, if the churches keep decreasing in number and in interest in teaching the lost, because we're having more and more people come into this country and fewer people becoming Christians, following the Word of God. In Luke 24:47, Jesus spoke of the reason for His death. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name unto all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Beginning in Jerusalem. Repentance, remission of sin should be taught. He doesn't say anything about belief or baptism. That doesn't mean that that's not in the picture. That just means that He's not emphasizing that. Others had already emphasized it before he wrote this, evidently. The reason for all people to hear the gospel, what's that reason? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we spent some time in Florida after spending a couple of years out in Texas, Lubbock, Texas. From Jacksonville Beach, Florida, from the warm area of Jacksonville Beach, Florida, to the far north frigid area of Sydney, Montana, we went for 2 years. And you know, people are the same all over. They sin. We have something in common, don't we? It's not maybe a good thing to be, it's not something to brag about at all. But people all over this country and all over the world have something in common, and that's sin. We all sin. We need to acknowledge that we sin. We have to believe that we have sinned if we're to be saved. No one will come to Jesus to be saved unless they first know they are lost. There can be no good news of the gospel unless there's bad news going on in your life. The bad news started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And it continues down through all times to the present time. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's what the person who's a sinner and has not come to Jesus has to face. All sinners face death. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel the apostles were to preach was the good news of salvation in Christ. Sin separates from God. Sin separates from God. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, to a nation who continually turned their back on God, he said, they were concerned about God not hearing them. He said, your sins and your iniquity separate between you and your God. That's bad news. That's bad news. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived the perfect life that he lived. He went to the cross, offered his life as a sacrifice, and it was acceptable to God to cover our sins, to grant us forgiveness of sins. But there was something that we needed to do. We accept or we reject. And whether we accept or reject has something to do with our eternal salvation, our eternal condemnation. And the last point of our lesson, to be saved, all are to believe and be baptized. You say, well, that's just what y'all teach. That's just what you have to teach because you're a preacher. That's what I have to teach because that's what God's Word says. That's the words of Jesus. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those are His words. Those are the words given to those apostles. Those are the words given to those 12 men who were picked by Him. Chosen to go out into the world and carry on after He left. He said, this is the message you're to go forth with. Now, people will argue with that. We'll read it and say, I don't believe it. You're telling Jesus that you don't believe what he says. You're not telling me you don't believe what I say. You say, that's your interpretation. No, that's not my interpretation. That's what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Based on Jesus' authority, all are to hear the gospel. All who are taught then will either believe or not believe. Those who believe, based upon this command here, need to be commanded to be baptized. Now we need to know a little bit more about baptism. We don't have the time this morning. We'll go into it more later. What is baptism all about? Well, number one, it's a command of Jesus. He said that it needs to be done, needs to be taught, and folks are to do that, to be baptized in order to be saved, according to Mark 16, 15, and 16. Did the apostle follow Jesus' command? Let's see. We go to that verse, to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Remember that in Luke 24:47, Jesus has said to the apostles that repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all people in his name, beginning in Jerusalem. Beginning in Jerusalem. Keep that place in mind. Coming to Acts chapter 2, Luke records for us that a group of people that have been meeting in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had just ascended back to the Father, back in chapter 1, verse 11. They'd chosen Matthias to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and went out and killed himself. So now they got a full-fledged 12 apostles again. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon these individuals so they could speak in foreign languages. And they began teaching people from all nations that were gathered, Jews that were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. This was 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, after that Sunday. So this was a Sunday morning. a Sunday morning preaching by Peter and the other apostles. Now, we have recorded what Peter said, or some of what Peter said. So there's a large group of Jews that are gathered in Jerusalem. That's the right place, isn't it? Right place. Let's see if the message is the right message. So later in Peter's message, we read that that he tells them, well, let's get to the book of Acts. If you got Acts there, you got Acts 2 also. So look in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 23. Well, let's go back to 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. They knew this. Him being delivered by the determined purpose of God and foreknowledge of God. It was a God's plan. You've taken by wicked hands, the King James says, lawless hands, the New King James says, and you've crucified and you put to death. So they had, there were amongst this group those who had been there when Jesus was tried before Pilate, Herod, and all the rest of them, but especially Pilate. And they were the ones that cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Release Barabbas to us, the murderer." When Pilate offered to release Jesus or Barabbas. And so Peter's preaching to them. He's talking to the very ones who had crucified Jesus. Notice the boldness of Peter. You think that Peter was one who believed that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead? Yeah. He wouldn't have been standing there. Now, he was being guided in what he said, but he would be one foot in front of the other by the Holy Spirit. He was walking along and appearing where he was appearing based upon his own choice. And he chose to choose Jesus. And he said concerning the Jesus that they had crucified, whom God raised up. Whom God raised up. And later in verse 32 in Peter's message, he said, this Jesus that God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Not just me. All of us saw him. All of the 12. And others, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15. After quoting from Psalm 110, verse 1, Peter adds, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, which you crucified, both Lord, that is ruler, and Christ, that is the Messiah. And the words of the gospel, the words of the good news, moved them. It pricked them in their heart, the King James says. It moved them. And based upon what had been preached to them about Jesus, they wanted to know, what do we need to do? What is it we can do to get right with God, to get right with Jesus? They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They believed, evidently, didn't they? They wouldn't have asked the question. So they want to know, now what? Now what? Now we're in this predicament. Now what? Peter says, I was told Jesus what to tell you when you asked that question. Jesus told me that, brother. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. He said, I can take care of that blood that's on your hands for crucifying the Savior. And all the other sins of your life can be taken care of and washed away. Be baptized, you believe, repent, rather, he said, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And after additional preaching, the Bible says that those that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In Acts 2:47, Luke would record for us, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Or those who were being saved. So it's a matter of salvation, isn't it? It's talking about Acts chapter 2. Jesus had commanded, go teach all nations, preach to them. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And he said, repentance and remission of sins will be taught. That's what's going on in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. And what they had to do to make it right with God, to take away that sin. And what we have to do to take away our sins today, if we are not a Christian, if we've not come to Christ and taken care of that sin problem, what we are to do is the same thing they did. What we will be told to do and are told to do is the same thing they were told to do. This morning, if there's someone here that's subject to the invitation of Christ, you know who you are, where you are, or if you have any questions, I'd be glad to talk to you. But you're subject to the invitation. We'll be glad for you to come forth this morning. Let that be known. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you need to return to Christ after being away from Christ, why not make that known this morning as we sing, just as I am. Shall we stand, please?